out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 3rd of October 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, all this week long, we have the Conservative Conference going on over here in Britain. And I'm not going to talk about it very much, but I did just notice something yesterday. They had the Home Secretary's speech, Home Secretary Sajid Javid, the son of a Pakistani bus driver. And it was all fairly predictable, attacking Labour, talking about how the dreadful scourge of anti-Semitism and how the Tory party won't stand for anti-Semitism and they won't stand for Islamophobia. And there was this minority group that was being particularly picked on and they just didn't have the same rights as everybody else. And I thought, could he possibly be talking about white people here? Could he possibly be talking about working class whites that are being looked over at university places and not getting the help that they need? But no, he was talking about Jews, of course. And besides talking about how much he wanted to do for the Jews, he also said that now that we're actually leaving the EU, we're going to take back control of our borders and open them up to everywhere. Open them up to everyone to come in from all around the world. No longer are we going to make sure that they're European. We're going to just say anyone can come in. Thankfully, he really didn't get that much applause for this. And the auditorium was only half full. And the reason why it was only half full is because Boris Johnson was speaking at a fringe event. And I also caught Boris Johnson's speech. And his speech got rapturous applause. And he talked about throwing out Theresa May's Chequers Agreement and going on World Trade Organization terms, leaving Brexit on World Trade Organization terms. But he didn't really speak about immigration either. And both of them talked about doing what the British people wanted. And what the British people want is an end to all immigration. We don't want any immigration into our country. We're sick to death of queuing for the hospitals, having to wait 6 months for an operation, not being able to get our children into schools. And that's before we even go into the incredible increase in crime that we've seen that's also come alongside of this. And that's before you even get to the destruction of our genome as well, of our national genome, that the threat that having non-whites in the country poses to the British nation in itself. That's a far greater threat than all of the others. And none of this gets spoken about by these mainstream politicians. The only one who even comes close to speaking about these things is Gerard Batten, really. And even he doesn't dare talk about the threat that miscegenation poses. I mean, Anne-Marie Waters, she has mentioned white genocide and she will talk about the white race and how the white race is being replaced. Good on her for doing that. But we really don't have anyone that's speaking up about ethno-nationalism in Britain, or speaking about this incredible crime wave that's going on, and how we have one law for one group of people and another law for another group of people. You know, if you think about it, Jews, niggers, and Pakis. Just think of those three words: Jews, niggers, and Pakis. Jews can say Jews, niggers can say niggers. Packies can say packies. If I say those words, I'm running the risk of being accused of hate speech. I'm running the risk of being accused of stirring up racial hatred. So how can it be that we as British people cannot even use our own English language without running the risk of being arrested? And then you've got these politicians talking about freedom. You've got Sajid Javid talking about British values, shared British values. Well, how about freedom of speech being a shared British value? We don't have that. The minorities have that. They have freedom of speech. But we don't have freedom of speech. Boris Johnson is talking about how the country is built upon freedom. And he doesn't mention it either. The fact that there's this encroaching on our freedom to speak our minds. The fact that we can't even say words that we invented. We really are living under an occupation. And this is the same for all white countries. All of them, apart from maybe possibly Hungary, we're all living under the occupation of foreign masters, foreign tyrants. You can tell who they are because they're the ones that we're not allowed to criticise. And this fact that non-whites can just accuse us of saying something racist, and that is all they need as a defence. This is cropping up more and more. This first news story that I've got for you today, and this is something that we are seeing happen more and more often, and it's disgusting that this can actually go on. A dad, and of course it was a white dad, was killed following a single punch thrown during a row outside a takeaway in Rochdale, a court heard. Keith Madden, 59, hit his head on the floor and suffered a catastrophic head injury following an incident outside a Dixie Chicken branch on September the 28th last year. He later died in hospital. Jafar Ali, that's a nice British name, isn't it? 20, denies manslaughter. He claims he was threatened, he was called a packy, and he acted in self-defence. So just using these words, just the word packy can be used as an excuse. Oh, I had to act in self-defense and kill the guy for saying the word packy. Just the word itself is seen as an act of violence if it comes out of a white man's mouth. And the white man, he's no longer here. He's dead. He can't offer up his witness statement. It shouldn't matter what anybody says. I used to be taught at school that you really shouldn't pay attention to what people say, and you have to exercise self-restraint, and you don't just lash out if somebody says something. People will try to say things to you to try and get you to lash out, and that's just the way that things are. You learn that at school. And yet nowadays we don't seem to be expecting people to actually have any self-restraint. We just seem to think it's perfectly reasonable to hear a word and then lash out in violence, as this non-white has done. Minshull Street Crown Court heard Mr. Ali told police he thought Mr. Madden was going to rip his head off and impulsively hit him. Now, this white guy hadn't even punched this non-white. He'd done nothing at all. And this Pakistani, he's obviously a Pakistani, this Pakistani just killed him. And he's using the excuse he is using for killing this guy is, he called me a racial epithet. Jurors heard Mr. Ali told officers, "I gave him the lightest punch I've ever given anyone in my life." A witness, however, told the court, it was a forceful swinging punch. So this guy's obviously lying. He's been lying right from the start. Opening the case for the prosecution, Alaric Bassano told the jury, Keith Madden argued with the defendant in the doorway of the Dixie Chicken takeaway shop on Yorkshire Street, Rochdale. In the course of the short-lived argument, the defendant lost his temper, and in anger, the defendant punched Mr. Madden in the face. The effect of that single punch was to knock Mr. Madden to the floor. Mr. Madden's head struck the road surface and he sustained a catastrophic and unsurvivable head injury from which he died. Now, they should be throwing the book at this guy that did this, at this Pakistani that did this. His lack of self-restraint and immediately jumping to violence has killed somebody. I mean, people need to know that that can be the effect of lashing out in violence. You can kill somebody. And we know that these non-whites, they have far less emotional restraint than we do. The slightest thing can set them off. And this is why we have the phrase chimp out. Negroes don't have the emotional control that white people have. The slightest disrespect to their honour and they can freak out. I mean, we saw this recently with Serena Williams at a tennis match. As soon as she gets a little bit emotional, she gets violent. She smashes up her tennis racket, chimps out on the tennis court. And that's somebody at the highest rungs of society. That's a Negro in the highest elite of the Negroes. And she still does things like that. It's inbuilt into their bodily makeup to have no restraint over their emotions. And because of this, we're seeing white people that are being killed out of the anger of these non-whites. And instead of this non-white being locked up and thrown away the key, he's able to come out with the excuse, oh, the guy said something racist. He said something racist. And just the fact that he thinks that that is a valid excuse, that's a valid reason to punch someone and kill them, that just shows you what the state of our society is now, that we hold these ethnic minorities in a higher, a higher stratum of society than anybody else. We think that they're perfectly entitled to come out with violence if they hear a word that they don't like. And just the word Paki itself, I mean, the biggest selling magazine in Pakistan is called The Paki. The biggest selling magazine. So it's obviously not an offensive word in Pakistan. It's the word that the Pakistanis use to describe other Pakis. It's a word that's been made into a trigger word by the media. It's the same as the word nigger. The word nigger was never used to refer to slaves. It was never a negative term in Britain. It was a term of endearment. Pets were called nigger. You had the phrase works like a nigger, which meant to work hard. It was never used in a negative context. And yet, because the media said, it's terrible to call people that, the Negroes now think that they can use that as an excuse for killing people. It's the same as this mentality of the left, that you can use physical violence against the right wing because you don't like what they're saying. The prosecutor told a court Mr. Ali, who was 19 at the time of the incident, accepts that he punched Mr. Madden, but says he did so in self-defense in response to Mr. Madden's violent and threatening conduct. But Mr. Madden wasn't actually threatening him. Even if he did say the word Paki, that's not violent or threatening conduct. Just because somebody calls you a name doesn't mean that they're about to attack you, about to rip his head off, as he calls it here. Mr. Bassano said the Crown accepted Mr. Madden had been argumentative, but said that he never used or threatened violence against Mr. Ali and had posed no threat. Mr. Madden was said to be 5'4", and he's hardly a big bloke. He had consumed only two drinks that night, according to the barmaid at the Reed Hotel on Yorkshire Street, the court was told. She had known him 20 years and regarded him as a polite, quiet man who did not cause trouble, according to the prosecution. So he's not very likely to start coming out with racial epithets. He's not very likely to rip somebody's head off, as the defendant claims here. Yet he feels that he's able to make that accusation. No, nobody else can argue with it and say, well, he didn't say the word Paki. And the fact that people think that's a reasonable excuse, that really does show you, doesn't it, that how far we have fallen, how the differences that there are in society. Are there any words that a white man could say? Could a white man punch someone and kill them and then say, well, he called me a cracker. I thought he heard that he called me white filth or white slave master. There just aren't any words, are they? And we wouldn't have any words because we regard it as silly to get all upset and angry and violent about somebody using words. And even if somebody was to be insulting your mother, it wouldn't be an excuse to lash out in violence. Mr. Madden had also suffered a stroke in 2016, which had left him unsteady on his feet, and he sometimes slurred his speech, said Mr. Bassano. So the man was virtually disabled as well. The defendant had already placed his order at the takeaway and was in the doorway of the premises where Mr. Madden arrived, the court heard. One witness said Mr. Madden started to argue first, and the pair told each other to F off, jurors were told. The defendant is then said to have told Mr. Madden, "Why should I F off? No, you F off. I'll stand here if I want." The witness is then said to have tried to intervene, but could not stop the defendant unleashing a forceful swinging punch at Mr. Madden's face, the court heard. Another witness is said to have heard the defendant say, "You deserved that," to Mr. Madden, who was motionless on the ground, the jurors were told. He was actually dead on the ground. And this non-white is saying, "You deserved that," to him. He's glad that he's done what he's done. I mean, white people, there was a time when we could say whatever we like. We could have a dispute with somebody. We could have an argument in the street, and you would know that it wasn't going to get violent because we're civilized. We're civilized people. And these non-whites that we were importing into our countries, they're not civilized. And it doesn't matter how long they've been here. This guy could be second generation, third generation. It's in his blood to be like that. It's in his blood to have no control over his emotions. When he was arrested, the jurors were told the defendant described Mr. Madden as drunk, aggressive, and abusive, and that he had called him a packy and had threatened to headbutt him. Well, that sounds very likely, doesn't it? That a man who hardly drinks at all, has had a stroke, he's only 5'4", was drunk and threatened to headbutt him. He's just lying off the top of his head. This is another thing that we see with Negroes. They will just lie all the time. They will tell the most incredible lies and expect to get away with it. This was actually found in the David Lammy report that was the reason why, or one of the reasons why so many Negroes get prison sentences, because they plead not guilty. And then they tell these incredible tall stories, expecting to be found not guilty. They come out with these crazy excuses. And it's not just Negroes, it's all non-whites. I mean, all non-whites have got a little bit of Negro in them. That's why they aren't white. He was also said to have told police officers Mr. Madden had pushed him, adding, "And straight after he pushed me, honestly, officers, I'm not lying to you, I gave him the lightest punch I've ever given anyone in my life. I don't even punch. I'm not a violent person. Literally, it was on impulse. I thought this guy was going to rip my head off." This disabled chap. Mr. Ali, church style in Rochdale, denies manslaughter. So how did the guy die then? A manslaughter, you would expect, would be the least that he could actually claim. The guy should be being charged with murder. This saying that somebody said something racist, I mean, non-whites can say that to anything that happens to them now. They can say that. In fact, they're actually asked that. They're specifically asked that. Where there's this drive to combat hate crime, the police are desperately looking for hate crimes wherever they can. So whenever an ethnic minority is the victim of a crime, the police ask them if it was a hate crime. And if they say, "Well, what does a hate crime mean?" The police will say, well, it means that the person that did this to you will get a much harsher sentence. They'll be punished a lot more. So, of course, the ethnic minority is going to say, "Oh, yes, it was a hate crime." They're not honest. You can't rely on them to be honest people and not make things up. Of course, they're going to say that it was a hate crime. Because it means that the white person is going to get more of a punishment. It means that we have a two-tier justice system. It means that one group, white people, will be punished far more than Negroes or non-whites if the crime was the other way around. It's almost like the Vergild system that we had back in Anglo-Saxon times, where there was a value that was placed on a person as to how useful they were to society. So if you were high up in society and you were attacked, then the fine would be a lot higher. Or if you were killed, the punishment would be a lot more. And I guess that's reasonable if you've got people that are of actual value to society. But what we've done here is we've given the people that are of least value in society, the people that are 80% unemployed, if it's Muslims, we've given them this value that is of far more value than white people. And that's not equality. That goes against all this drive for equality. In their attempts to make everything equal, what they have done is made everything unequal, and they've elevated minorities to a status that white people don't have. And truth be told, white people should have that status. If a non-white attacks a white person, it should be double the penalty, because it's our country. Do you think that white people would only get half the penalty if they were to carry out a crime in another country? No, they throw the book at them. If white people are caught with drugs in countries where it's a capital offence, they will hang that white man or white woman. They certainly won't halve the punishment. They will go over the top with the punishment if it's a foreigner. And what we do is we do it the other way around. As I say, I think we're going to see more and more of this. These accusations of racism being used as excuses for attacking people. And it's saying that you're not responsible for your actions either. Oh, I heard this word and I just acted on impulse. And we all need to be responsible for our actions. The next news story I've got is on a completely different subject. And this leads on from what I was talking about a while back about, if you remember, this man that didn't have a penis and that was claiming to be a woman and raped these women because they didn't know that it wasn't actually a penis that he was using to have sex with them. And I was questioning how that could actually be seen as a crime with the way that the laws are today, that a woman can just declare that they are a man and then they are seen in law as a man. Well, it's a similar thing to that, what's going on here. A leading family judge is to rule whether a transgender man's baby could become the first born in England or Wales to not legally have a mother. The baby is the child of a single parent who was born a woman but now lives as a man after undergoing surgery. He wants to be identified on the birth certificate as the child's father or parent, but the law requires him to be registered as the mother, as he gave birth to the child. Sir Andrew McFarlane, president of the Family Division of the High Court, is due to make a decision on what will be on the child's birth certificate following a trial scheduled to take place at the High Court in London in February. According to lawyers, the baby could become the first person born in England or Wales to legally not have a mother. Judges have already heard that the man had been biologically able to get pregnant and give birth, but had legally become male when the child was born. The man has taken legal action after complaining of discrimination. He says forcing him to register as the child's mother breaches his human right to respect for privacy and family life. What about the child's right to have a mother? Every child in this world has a mother that gave birth to them. We don't have test tube babies that are grown in vats. Everybody has a mother. And this child's right, this child doesn't appear to have any rights at all, the children of these transgenders. Just because this deluded person wants to be seen as being a woman when he's a man, he's going to steal the right of this child to have a mother. He's going to make this child into an orphan. The judge said if the man won his fight, ministers might have to consider changing the law. lawyers say other transgender men have given birth, but have been registered on the birth certificate as mothers. That's because they are actually women. This nonsense that people can change their gender. You know, and surely when they're teaching the kids this stuff in schools, they're going to be thinking, well, what happens if someone gets pregnant? How can people just change their gender just by declaring it one day from the next? It doesn't actually bear any resemblance to reality, to biological reality. And once again, we see that the actual rights of the child, the rights of the baby, are just trampled on when the rights of the individual are there. And the individual would have nothing if it wasn't for the rest of the group. You would have nothing if it wasn't for your nation. Just, if you just look around the room, look around your room at home and think of everything that you've got there. Everything was created by somebody else. A television set, books, heating, everything was created by the people that came before. Yet human rights law cuts all of those people out and says the only person that has any rights, the only person that matters is the individual. It's just the one person. And the one person should take everything that he can without any regard for the rest of the community. This is what human rights law is about. It's about saying that somebody can make as much profit as they can from everybody else around them without any respect for them. And this, obviously, it can be traced back to the Jews because they could move from one community to another and they just wanted to take whatever they can from that community. And so they pushed for these laws so that the individual could take whatever he wanted without respect to them. And years ago, if there was a shortage of anything, the government would step in and provide more of it. Whereas nowadays, if there's a shortage of something, the shops will put the price up because they are trying to make their profit at the expense of the community. It's not the individual that matters. It's the community that matters. It's the nation that matters. And the child in the womb is the future of the nation. The child's rights should come first, but they don't. All this abortion controversy that goes on, all of that is just trampling on the rights of the baby, trampling on the right of life. And this is trampling on the rights of the baby and saying that this individual's rights are more important. And he's being discriminated against by being told that if you give birth to a child, then you are its mother. You're not its father. This man wishes to force his delusion on the rest of the world around him and force this delusion onto his child. Her child, I should say. Well, I have got some positive news to finish up on. Positive news from both Austria and Germany. Policies to discourage and drive down illegal immigration created by Austria's conservative populist coalition government are proving so successful that the government is reportedly closing down 7 asylum centres across the country. The Austrian government hailed the significant cost saving this would represent to the taxpayer in remarks made to the best-selling daily newspaper Kronenzeitung, which reports that the nation has the second fastest falling rate of asylum applications in the European Union. Over 7,000 individuals were either voluntarily or forcibly repatriated in the first 6 months of the year, accelerating the change in demand. The removals followed a significant fall in asylum applications in 2017 after the Austrian government pursued policies of border control and enforcing asylum law. An Interior Ministry spokesman told the paper, "In the field of federal assistance, there is a review of the contracts and institutions in budgetary, operational, and geographical terms. As a first interim result, 7 of the 20 active federal care facilities will be shut down by the end of the year. This will save taxpayers almost 12 million euros in childcare costs per annum." So good on Austria there. That's 30% of the asylum centres that are going to be closed down. So they are actually doing what they promised they would do when they were voted in. We've also got good news from Germany. Germany's right-wing Alternative for Germany party has surged in popularity to become the country's second most popular party behind Merkel's bloc, who are at 26%. While one recent poll commissioned by Germany's Bild am Sonntag newspaper has the AfD at 18% support, a Monday INSA poll has the party at 18.5% support, which is an all-time high. AfD's popularity is the latest sign that the populist wave sweeping Europe continues to pick up steam as Europeans steadily reject open border globalism and other progressive policies. Critics on the left suggest that the party is simply catering to public fears and frustrations over migrants, but AfD's supporters disagree, while the party believes it is in touch with German society. On the crucial issues of our time, the views of the majority of the population coincide with ours, and that drives these people to us, AfD spokesman Jörg Mutjen told NPR, adding that accusations that the party's members are dangerous right-wing radicals are an expression of political helplessness. Muthen, a German member of the European Parliament and an economist, says that the party's leaders completely reject any form of right-wing radicalism. But with that said, members of AfD were seen marching in solidarity with anti-migrant group Pegida, as well as neo-Nazi activists who were seen performing Nazi salutes, which are illegal in Germany, while shouting, "Foreigners out." Well, the AfD, they are only a civic nationalist party, but the fact that they are now the second most popular party in Germany, that's fantastic. That gives us hope everywhere else, because the AfD have only been around for a short while. And that's what we want to see. We want to see the right working together. It's great that AfD are at marches alongside neo-Nazis. I'd really like to see something like that happening in Britain. Say the BNP, the National Front, could be there at the same protests as the English Defence League and Britain First and UKIP. You know, we all agree on the main principles. We all want a stop to non-white immigration. We all want non-whites to be deported, whether that is every single non-white, which is how I feel about it, or whether it's just the non-white criminals or the non-white terrorists. That's still a step towards it. Even if they just got rid of all the terrorists, that would still be a step towards repatriating the non-whites. I mean, on the nationalist side of things, ethno-nationalists and civic nationalists, we have a lot that we do agree on, a lot more that we do agree on than things which we don't agree on. And I don't see the things that we don't agree on as being reasons to view one another as enemies. So this is great news here from Germany, and I hope that we do see more of AfD marching alongside Pegida and the other more radical groups over there. Anyway, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.